You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour begins, and not a second too soon. Thanks to all for being here on this Friday afternoon. Weekend has arrived for most people, and if you're a fan of the Big Ten or the SEC, listen up. Bill Bender joining us in a moment. How 24 SEC Big Ten schedules impact their future paths to a 12-team playoff. We now have both schedules out. Last week, the Big Ten, now the SEC. Bill, always a pleasure to welcome you here. Good afternoon. Thanks for the time. And let's hear what you have to say about what's been pretty dramatic week in college football with the Big Ten last week and the SEC this week.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of back and forth about those schedule models, whether you prefer 9 games or 8 games. And I do think by design, both of them, Big Ten showing off USC and UCLA, making UCLA travel a lot. SEC putting, giving Oklahoma a brutal schedule. And I mean, they're putting Texas out there, aren't they? I mean, the Georgia game, the old Southwest Conference rivals, and I am glad they're playing Texas A&M again.
We know the schedules. We know the games that matter, at least right now. But help us better understand what it all means in relation to the 12-team playoff. One has 9, the other has 8 games. Some of the critics thought the 8-game schedule would hurt the SEC. Now that you've had a chance to digest it, what do you think?
I don't think it hurts the SEC because several of those schools have the Kentucky-Louisville rivalry and the Florida-Florida State rivalry. I do think it could impact future scheduling in terms of, I mean, if you look at Alabama's 2024 schedule, the SEC schedule alone, very tough. And then you factor in a Wisconsin game on that. And, you know, what part of my thought process was schedule Wisconsin or a Michigan State, they play them in a 3-6 game later in the college football playoff. I'm going to be really curious to see how the SEC and the Big Ten handle their non-conference schedule in the future and whether or not some of those games get canceled.
Yeah, and Bill, I mean, I haven't looked at every single one, but, you know, Clemson plays Georgia next year on top of Alabama. But we have Michigan. Who's Michigan playing? Is it Texas? Or anyway, then you have USC and UCLA on LSU's schedule, Alabama at Wisconsin. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. But the real question is not, you know, whether you can survive a loss. It's how many, is it not?
Yes, and I'm wondering again, a 4-team era, it's a fact that no 2-loss team has made the college football playoff. In the BCS era, only 1 2-loss team, that Les Miles LSU team, played for a national championship. So are we still going to look at teams strictly by their wins and loss total, or are we going to factor in an SEC schedule or a Big Ten schedule that's loaded with a bunch of road games and say, well, they're 9-3, but look at the strength of schedule, they deserve to be a playoff team. And I don't know the answer to that right now, and I don't know how they'll weigh the Big Ten having 9 games versus the SEC having 8. The example I used, what if we have a 10-2 Wisconsin and a 10-2 Tennessee? Who knows who they will take in that instance?
Yeah, I think you're right, and you know we'll go through the machinations of the college football playoff. But if you're a Georgia or an Alabama, and you've got that game on the schedule, it's going to count fairly significantly. Well, forget 24. We have spent all week talking about that. Let's talk about 23, and you've had plenty of opportunities since we've last visited to take a look at it. What do you think? Let's start with who is at the top couple of positions right now in your mind?
Same old, right? And then this 14 playoff era, Georgia, you look at their schedule, it's hard not to picture them holding out to a 10-0 start. And I know Kirby doesn't want to hear that because of complacency, but I mean, it's there for them to get to Knoxville with a 10-0 record. I think Alabama obviously is going to have to figure out who the quarterback is, but there's enough talent to make a playoff run. And then, you know, it's the usuals in the Big Ten, Ohio State and Michigan. They both have a ton of talent. They're going to fight for that Big Ten championship, and Penn State feels like they have a pretty good team, best team they think they've had since 1999. So, I mean, that's where those conversations start, and you can't hurt LSU, Paul. I like what they have coming back, and boy, do they have a heck of an opener against Florida State.
Yeah, LSU's the one that's so intriguing, Bill, because, I mean, there's a camp that has planted the flag with Brian Kelly. We had a guest on a couple of weeks ago saying they moved past Alabama, which you know how well that goes over on a program like this. But I want to dig deeper into LSU because, you know, some of it's obvious, but where do you think that thought process is? It doesn't sound like you're completely ready to move Nick Saban out, but just your thoughts on Brian Kelly and whether even though they lost four times last year, that first game probably really didn't count for much, and the Georgia game was an SEC contest.
They beat Alabama, and a huge reason why they beat Alabama was the continued development of Jaden Daniels. He wasn't just a threat passing the ball. He ran the ball. He became a little bit of a matchup problem, and his continued development will be huge. They've got good receivers on the outside. Their defense picked up a transfer from Oregon State and Omar Spates that should help out. I mean, they're loaded talent-wise, but can they be consistent and do that every week? And they didn't do that last year. They didn't do that against Tennessee. So I'm not ready to kind of crown them as way past Alabama because when they go to Tuscaloosa, I mean, Alabama's only lost four times at home since 2010. You can't just show up there and win.
But on Alabama, and it's so hard to talk about Alabama, Bill, without doing what you just did. I'm not trying to sound like the professor, you know, throwing the pencil at you or the eraser. But if you look at Alabama today, how different does it look? Even removing the quarterback dilemma out of the equation, do you see slippage in that program?
I don't. Not as much. If we're taking the quarterback out of it, talent all over the place at receiver, the loaded running back room, and Justice Haynes could have a breakout season. I think the offensive line people are maybe a little bit concerned about. We'll see how that goes. And it's not like they're short on four- and five-star talent. So I don't see the slippage. I do see, if you allow me to talk about the quarterback, if you're my teacher, I say when you go from that many first-round quarterbacks to uncertainty at the most important position with a new offensive coordinator, it's impossible not to make that the number one question heading into week one.
We'll keep the quarterback situation back into the next question, class. If you're looking at skill position players, the ones that really matter, and you're trying to compare Alabama and LSU, what do you see?
It's comparable. I mean, LSU has a really good receiver room. They do. And Malik Nabers is an All-American caliber receiver. I mean, that's what Alabama didn't have last year. They need guys like Jermaine Burton to step up. They need guys like Prentice to step up and some of those young guys that were in the spring game making catches. I like both teams' talent. You know, they're going to have a couple freshmen pop. I was really high on Haynes in the spring game because I think he adds an element to that running game, especially in the red zone, being able to catch the ball. He's probably the most complete freshman running back they've had in a long time, and Nick Saban doesn't talk about those guys unless he thinks they're going to make an impact.
Who gets out of the West? And the final time I'll be able to ask you that question.
I'm still going to pick Alabama when the predictions roll around. I like that they have the tough ones at home. I my youth sports team's about being prepared, being professional, being unbeatable at home, and that's what they do. So it's on LSU to go there. It's on Tennessee to go there. There's going to be a lot written about Texas in that week two game. And is Texas capable of going to Alabama and winning? Yes, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I'm with you. So who surprises us the most in the SEC in 2023?
Well, I mean, South Carolina's got a ton of momentum. If Spencer Rattler continues to do what he did late in the season, you know, he was averaging around 365 yards between Tennessee and Clemson and Notre Dame. He played very well. They've got a tough schedule early, but kind of like what they're doing. Wondering if Arkansas doesn't bounce back a little bit with KJ Jefferson. Texas A&M, the big question, Paul.
I need something positive on A&M, Bill. Come on, make me feel better about betting my house on Jimbo Fisher this fall.
Well, I mean, we're all going to watch that first third down with Bobby Petrino, I'm sure. But Connor Wigman, five-star for – hey, I mean, yeah, so Wigman played well at the end of last year, had a good game against LSU. I like five-star quarterback pedigree.
They mark it down in early December. Bobby Petrino will be in Little Rock being awarded the Broyles Award as the best assistant in college football. You don't believe that?
I'm not going to put that on my paper yet before I turn it in. But if that does happen, be in contention for a playoff and be calling this year's TCU, because TCU was 5-7 the year before going to the playoff. Happens, they could make it interesting.
Great stuff. Bill Bender from Sporting News joining us, and we head to the break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. Anthony is up next in New York. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, Paul. I hope you're having a great day.
We are.
Paul, I wanted to talk about the Fighting Irish's schedule for this season. Okay. And when I look at it, I think four games are going to determine how they're going to do this year. And I know the games are home to Ohio State, home to USC, at Clemson, and at NC State. And I think if they can split those four games, do you think they can go 10-2 this year and go to a New Year's Six game?
I'm going through it right now. I see three losses. I think, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they can go 10-2, but I think I don't think they'll beat Clemson on the road. I think Southern Cal is probably too good, and I don't see how they beat Ohio State. So those are the three. I think they can probably win at NC State and deal with that, but. I don't know how they avoid. I think at 9-3 they would be hard pressed, though. They might, depending on whether it's a loose top 10 or not. Hey, thanks for the call. Mike in Georgia is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
So Josh Heupel is not fat. He's just big boned, is what Will said. So is Peyton Manning, right? They just look a little different.
Well, when you play big college bone. Football and then you 20 years later, you're likely to put on a few pounds. That happens to all of us.
Oh, I'm not throwing stones, but you know, my mom, I just had a chuckle on that. My mom would go out of her way to avoid saying something bad about somebody, and that's what she used to say when I was growing up, and it just struck me as fans we'll
yeah,
defend
I agree with you. I I started interrupt, but sometimes it's just easier to ignore somebody when they're making a disparaging comment like that.
Well, I just wanted to say I was enjoying the show, and I thought that was really funny. But I do have one quick prediction for you. If Milroe is, you know, the word is back and forth and all over the board about whether or not who the Bama quarterback is going to be. If Milroe is the starter, am I saying that right? Is it Milroe?
Jalen Milroe.
I predict if he's the starter for Alabama, they'll lose three games this year.
Yeah, I mean, he clearly did not convince anyone that he was hands down the starter. I don't know. I mean, to me, their schedule is not impossible at all. I think the three toughest games are at home. The tricky game on the road is Texas A&M, and I don't know. I don't see three losses.
I think here's the difference is they're replacing, of course, you're following Bryce Young, okay? So, I mean, the difference is I think they'll be able to run and ground and pound and move the ball very well. The problem is you're not going to have that thing that they have used so frequently in the last few years of being able to come back and save the day at the end of the game.
Yeah, no, you're right.
He's not going to be that.
Bryce Young won countless games for them. The schedule, yeah. there's another game on the schedule that I don't think too many people are going to think twice about, but I think the Kentucky game in November could loom pretty large if Kentucky is as good as we always think they are going to be in June. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that very, very much. Chris is in Austin. You're on the air. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
That's a good segue, bro. We're getting ready to talk about Kentucky.
Okay.
Do you actually think they're going to have a legitimate chance?
Yes, I do. Their quarterback is outstanding. The, Liam Cohn return, I think, was essential. And I think Kentucky has been on the cusp for a couple of years, and they just always seem like they shoot themselves in the foot. And I feel pretty comfortable that this could be a big year for them.
Yes, sir. I'm a Texas and a Kentucky fan. I'm lucky in that way because I'm here in Austin. I can look out the door at three of my other campuses, less than 2 miles away, six streets right there. And then in Kentucky, I was born on campus, so. Sounds good.
Well, Chris, stay in touch. Great to hear from you. Elliot is in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. I'm very excited about the schedule. I see that Wisconsin's playing Alabama 2024. I predict that Luke Fickell will be the downfall of Nick Saban. That's when people are going to call for Nick Saban's head because he's bringing him down. We saw the humiliation that Penn State did on Auburn just a year ago. And it's all good. The Big Ten starts marching into SEC country, brother, and it's all going to go south. No pun intended.
Elliot, later in the day, I would fall down drunk laughing at your comment, but it's still too early.
I'm just saying it's coming. And it's like, go ahead, let's start scheduling it. Or are you guys going to cancel at the last minute?
I keep seeing evidence of this all the time. Where?
You guys are going to cancel at the last minute
so
you don't have to play the Big Ten opponent?
By about 100 points in a bowl game. I've Georgia beat Ohio State. You can talk about anything you want, but
let's talk about how Georgia barely beat Ohio State because of a bad call.
I don't want to hear any more about loser Ohio State excuses. Okay, you lost the game.
That was a targeting. If you've ever seen targeting, it was
nobody cares. Okay,
no, sportscasters across the country called it bad, not just me,
Elliot. The only sportscaster that matters is the one you're talking to. Steve is up next. Good afternoon.
What's up, Feinbaum?
How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, I got a new nickname for you, dude. So from now on out, you're El Pollo Loco, the crazy chicken.
I like that. I haven't had a good nickname ever.
You know what? Have you ever seen a chicken with a concussion? They're always running around.
I must confess, I'm not really up on poultry.
sometimes they're in Birmingham. Sometimes you're in Birmingham. Sometimes you're at the studio. You're all over the place. And sometimes you, even talking to people, you start running around in circles because you don't know how to respond to some of these idiots. Anyway, so let me get to what I want to talk to you about, Paul. So, you still there?
Yes, Dave. I am contractually obligated to be here for another couple hours.
All right. Well, I just cracked open my cold beer because it's Friday. You know, I
okay,
got to have
so,
cold beer.
Help me out here because I'm still in theory, theoretically working. What kind of beer?
Miller Lite. I don't drink Larry's beer.
Miller Lite sounds good to me right now. Kind of.
Nice,
reason to get hung up on heavy beer.
No, and you know what? And with Larry's beer, you have to wear a tuck-friendly bathing suit. So, you know, I mean, it's all good. So let's talk about the BCS. I want to talk about national championships, Paul.
Okay. We can do that.
All right. So I've heard conversations on morning talk shows this morning with the Bama hater coming on, and he actually had a decent point. And you know the Bama hater that I'm talking about.
Sure, JK.
So, yeah, of course, yes. So he had a good point. We shouldn't count national championships before the BCS era. We shouldn't. And before long, it's going to be after mine and your lifetime. Before long, they probably won't count championships.
So, Steve, what difference does it make in what context?
Because pre-BCS era, Paul, you were obligated by the bowls to play other conferences,
no matter what
their record was. Right? And then
so,
you
okay,
have
I understand all that, Steve, but it's, in what does it matter if we count them or not?
Because, okay, so do you consider the Packers a dynasty in the NFL because they rule the NFC before the Super Bowl started? We count championships by the Super Bowls, correct? Right?
I mean, most of the conversations we have here involve the here and now, so I've covered Alabama football most of my career, and I don't even know how many championships they've won. I know Nick Saban has won 6.
No, now, even since the BCS era, Alabama's on top, bar none. I mean, they're on top of everybody. I mean, bar none, they are the gold standard.
Unless you're, a school that hasn't won in a long time, like Michigan, for example, the conversation
exactly.
is somewhat moot. Anyway, I'd love to continue banging my head against the wall until I stop, so it will feel better, but I must go to a break. We take this conversation to the break. More of your phone calls, more guests right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Carl is in Georgia. Hello, Carl.
Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Happy Friday
to you.
You bet.
I got a couple of comments about legend, Alabama legend. I heard him yesterday. He seemed to be pretty excited about next year. I'm kind of on the other side. I want Kirby Smart and St. Nick in Atlanta this year, and the Atlanta Braves in the World Series. One more thing about legend. I heard him say he was going to culinary school.
Right.
I suggest everybody hide their colons in case he gets confused. Go dogs.
Hide your – he say colon? Can you hide your colon? very easily? I mean, you can't. Yeah, I mean, you've got you would need X-rays to probably to be able to see someone's colon, and once you saw it, you probably wouldn't want to. Jace is in Augusta. You're on the air. Hello, Jace.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, first of all, I want to talk about that idiot Elliot from Ohio. I mean, I thought Alabama fans were whining about not winning a national championship the last 2 years, but Ohio State fans are the most whiny ass fans I have ever seen in my life. You know, for him to bring up a targeting call, it was not a targeting call. It's complete BS. First of all, so I wanted to get that off my chest. But I want to talk about the dog schedule this year. You know, honestly, I mean, we got a soft schedule this year. You know, we play at Tennessee and then the SEC championship game. Those are probably the two hardest games we're going to have this year. Now, if you look at next year's schedule, you know, we start off with Clemson, and looking down it, I mean, we're probably going to play six teams that are going to be ranked in the top 15, going into the season. If you want to throw that schedule up, I mean, you can go down and see. You know, so I mean, for everybody, you know, saying that, that we've got a soft schedule this year, and for everybody saying, I've heard all the Alabama fans, saying how bad they're gonna, whip our ass in Tuscaloosa, don't count your chickens for the hatch. So, anyway, I appreciate you taking my call, Paul, and I hope you have a good weekend. And I'll continue listening to your show, man. You do a great job.
Thank you very much, Chase. Jay is up next, calling from Alabama. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Great.
Hey, I just got something. I'm sick of all these haters, especially Georgia fans. We're still the king of the mountains. No matter what, the championship's going to have to come through us. And everyone's complaining about tough schedules. Alabama welcomes anybody. Bring it on anytime. We'll take it on. Roll Tide.
Well, we got that situated. Craig is up next in Georgia. Hello, Craig.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing okay. Thank you.
All right. So, Paul, I'm talking about quarterbacks. Georgia, diehard Georgia fan. Right now, we got Carson Beck, 4-star. Brock Vandegrift, 4 or 5-star. Gunnar Stockton, 5-star. Coming in, the Dylan Raiola and the Pulexi kid.
Right, 5-star.
What happens if Carson Beck don't go to the draft next season for whatever reason?
Well, you're going to see a couple of departures, I think.
that's my thoughts too, Paul.
Yeah, there's only so many spots that, I mean, and again, Alabama has a similar situation where you have a couple of guys that have hung around waiting for their moment, and there's too many opportunities right now for a 4 or 5-star to sit around when he doesn't win the job, not once but twice. So it's the same thing with Arch Manning. I mean, Arch Manning is expected to be the starter next year, but
right.
I mean, these guys do not waste a minute like perhaps you would have or I would have back in the day. They're going to be gone.
Got it. One last thing, though, Paul. For all the people in Alabama, in a town called Tuscaloosa in particular, we talk about the next year's schedule. I said all that to say that's what you got looking forward to rolling into town next season. Go Dawgs.
A lot of quarterbacks. Bama's not concerned. Bama wants that game. That's the one thing I will say about Bama fans, unlike some other fans. They don't care what's happened in the past. They have not lost faith in their leader. Rooster is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Rooster.
Yeah,
let's talk about Gamecock football.
Okay, why not?
And, you know, Jim in Tuscaloosa, I welcome Alabama to the cockpit any day. You know, after the last time they was down there, they got beat.
Yeah, I've heard about that a few times.
We just need to give these Gamecocks a little bit more credit than what they've been given.
Didn't Alabama play there one other time since 2010? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I thought they played. The only reason I remember sitting there that morning talking about the last time. Yeah.
And the last time your boys went to the cockpit.
Yeah, I remember. I was there in the cockpit that day. I had opened my trap the day before, saying that South Carolina had no chance.
The Volunteers got the
Alabama was there. Alabama was there in 2019 and won by how many? Won 47-23.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I bet you did. Well, I can tell you something. Alabama fans haven't forgotten about that beatdown of the Roosters in the cockpit. We will take a break. More to come right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Cooper is up next in Tennessee. Good afternoon, Cooper.
What's up, buddy? I was just following up on that Chris Lowe. Just a comment about Saban, you know, not believing in the coaching and all this with the players now, and that they're not coached right, or that's why they're not performing efficiently at other schools. But yet last year, if I remember, for a month or two, he was upset over the speed of the game as Heupel would coach, and saying that that should not be allowed. So I just wanted to hear what if you agree with Saban, that analogy from Chris Lowe. The other thing is, I'm glad that you're almost to your last hour there. So that's the most important.
Cooper, I hate to be a stickler, but hour and 14 minutes, not that I'm counting.
Dude, I'd be counting right now. But I love your show, and I appreciate you, buddy.
I mean, Nick Saban has had a record of being against what Heupel does. He was very outspoken about it in 2014, I believe. I remember having a conversation with him one day, and he was irate, and he went to the College Football Council and tried to get it changed, and didn't happen. Then he brought in Lane Kiffin, and it worked very successfully for him. Now he seems to be moving away from that. But yeah, he's certainly entitled to say whatever he wants. I think what we learned this week is that while he is the most important and influential figure in the game, just because he says something doesn't mean it will happen. And I thought Blake Topmeyer made a really good point in his column today in USA Today that this week it was proven that the SEC office does not run through Tuscaloosa. It runs through Birmingham in Greg Sankey's office. Thank you for the call. Gus is in Lexington. You're on the air. Hello, Gus.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you.
I agree with what you just said. It never has run through Tuscaloosa. I wanted to ask you one thing, just to ask you, because of the years that have gone by, what you think has changed more between the two head coaches. I don't know if you remember this, and it's a little bit of not a true gotcha moment, but when you remember sitting on the ESPN set when FSU won their national title against Auburn in the BCS and saying that the torch had passed and had passed to Jimbo Fisher from Nick Saban because Nick Saban was working with y'all?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the context of that. But I have done everything in my power, Gus, to extract that night from my life. and it was quite a night. But whatever I said, I'm sure, was properly recorded.
Fair. I just was bringing that up to ask, do you think it has been the fortunes of Nick staying the way he was, or Jimbo changing, or simply just a change in school that made that not happen?
Yeah,
the way
I think that was a unique moment in time, and I think because Saban was there, there was a lot of that conversation. And remember, that was the first time in 7 years the SEC had lost the national championship. I think Jimbo Fisher, in some ways, was victimized by FSU. It was always a problem. The next year, you know, they went undefeated the regular season. They lost in the playoffs. I think he cut too many corners there with Jameis Winston. I think he butted heads with the administration, and I bet he's sorry he didn't leave earlier, because it really, some of it was his fault. I think a lot of it was what happened after him. And the verdict on Jimbo Fisher is yet to be written. He's an incomplete coach right now in terms of which way his career is going.
Very fair, and thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And continue good work, sir.
You got it. I think that was an interesting moment, though, because you had Auburn ascending. You had a lot of things happening right then. But I think from a torch standpoint, it just looked like somebody else was finally wrestling this dominance away from Nick Saban. But remember, he was going for a three-peat that year, and it was derailed on a coaching decision, if you remember. The game, the Auburn-Alabama game, was going to overtime, and Saban insisted that 1 second be put back on the clock. Sparky is up next. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again, brother.
Thank you very much.
How is the weather in North Carolina?
90 and hot. It's probably like it is where you are.
Yes. It's pretty hot down here in Shelby County, Alabama, too. Hey, Paul. You know, all these callers call in and talk about how Alabama's fell off. They're no longer the alpha dog, but they all continue to compare their schools to us, and beating us is the big thing. I don't remember Alabama ever rushing the damn field to beat anybody. And the Georgia fans, Paul, they just want to call it LBU, good old Lucky Break University. Paul, you tell me what happened in the 21 SEC championship game. Did or did not Alabama, at full strength, go in there and mop the damn floor with Georgia?
They most certainly did.
So, we go back to the national championship game. Already down one starting receiver with a pass-oriented offense. All right, we lose our second one. They beat us in the fourth quarter, and yes, they won the championship. Congratulations to you, Georgia. 1 out of 10. All right. Last year, a 38-yard field goal. Hell, George Wallace could have rolled out there and kicked a 38-yard field goal. But no. Good old Lucky Break University gets it again. I'm tired of these Georgia fans. you have done nothing besides take advantage of some lucky breaks. Your little time is going to end soon enough. So enjoy it, boys and girls, because it is coming to an end. Roll Tide.
Joe and Geraldine is up next.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Paul, my husband wanted to talk to you about Chapter 7 in your book. But he's outside, and he wanted to ask you about one of the Georgia players maybe pouring beer on you.
It was not a Georgia player. It was in 2008. I was working for a local TV station, and we were doing a hit after the game when Alabama upset Georgia from the bridge. I think it was the bridge. Is that right, Jamari? And some Georgia frat boy, while we were live on television, walked past me and poured a beer on my head. And I mean, I admired the fact that a college kid would do that, but that's what I was talking about. I didn't really get that upset about it. I only wish he had offered it to me instead.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, how you doing? I just wanted to call and let you know that as a player, you let it get on your show all the time.
Well, thank you. It's great to hear from both of you. Unfortunately, we are up against the break here. 2 more hours to go. I misspoke earlier. I thought we were closer to the weekend. We're coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.